flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's continue our trip around the National Football League as we continue to talk to those peon teams that have to play this weekend. I can't imagine. You got to play the first weekend of the playoffs? Just disgusting. I can't imagine living that kind of life. Well, let's head to somebody that knows all about the wild card round. Josh Dover, our friend in Denver, joining us on the show. Josh, how you doing, my man?
You know what? I'm doing good. We are fired up for a little wild card round out here in the Mile High City for the first time in a decade. See that? So I'm doing good.
No, absolutely, man. On a very serious note, let's start with Bo Nix. Bo Nix has put together a very, very good rookie season. When did you realize that, hey, maybe the Broncos got this right at quarterback?
There was early on, he wasn't good. I mean, you're talking about a month of the season where he did not look good. He had happy feet, maybe looked like the league was a little bit too fast for him, but I can actually narrow it down to a throw because I started to do some of this for some stuff out here. But it was a week five game. There are two things that happened in that week five game. He threw a ball in the back of the end zone to Josh Reynolds, and it was like literally the only Josh Reynolds Broncos highlight he had before he got released. But it was just his feet work was perfect. His placement of the football was only where Josh Reynolds could get it. And that second moment is probably what the national audience or even some football fans out there will remember, is him barking back at Sean Payton and getting in his grill a little bit for Sean yelling at him, but Bo knowing that Sean is the one that got it wrong on the play call, and Bo had actually got it right. So those two moments, that throw, because I know, all right, hey, you know what the NFL speed is now, where you have to put the ball and how you have to lead a wide receiver, and then the moment of like, hey, I'm not going to just let my coach bully me all the time. That was it for me.
If you are looking at a potential quarterback, like a comparison on who the ceiling would be for Bo Nix, what's the best case scenario for Bo Nix? I think he has proven that he can be a good quarterback in the NFL. He's completing 67% of his passes, almost threw for 4,000 yards, had 29 touchdowns this season, and had a 90-plus quarterback rating. Bo Nix had a good season, but I'm guessing you're expecting improvement to be better as his career continues to progress. What do you think his ceiling is?
I mean, there's a lot of the comparisons, and everybody wants to do the Drew Brees thing just because he's tied to Sean Payton. And I mean, Drew Brees was a hell of a quarterback. The dude won a Super Bowl and is certainly probably getting himself to a Hall of Fame bid. I don't know about that level of quarterback play for Bo. Maybe the two of them can have the success depending on what's around Bo. I mean, I don't know what the country feels about Jared Goff, but I think that's a good comparison, who Jared Goff is, and is he ever going to win an NFL MVP? Probably not. Is he going to be a big-time player when you talk about the quarterback landscape of Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson? No, probably not. He's on that next tier, but I think that's where Bo Nix can be eventually, and I'm not saying next year or even the year after that. But 4 or 5 years into it, Bo Nix on that second tier of NFL quarterback play, I think that's where he can live, and he can live there for a while.
I'm looking at the Broncos stats right now. If there's going to be a team that is linked to drafting a running back in the first round, it's going to be the Broncos, right? You got some names at the position, but they didn't get a whole lot of production from the running back position this year.
No, not at all. And a lot of that is on Sean Payton, actually, as where I would point my finger. He just doesn't want to run the ball. Obviously, he's an offensive-minded coach and has a great game plan every single week, according to Sean Payton. But he just doesn't want to run the ball. That's not the point of emphasis for him. So I do think they need to address the room because Javonte Williams isn't it. I'm still intrigued as to what a guy like Audric Estime can be, and Jaleel is – and he's not an every-down guy. When he is in on third down, you kind of know what the deal is if you're the defensive side. So I like Audric Estime. I think Jaleel has a spot on the roster, but they have to add something. But until Sean Payton really commits to running the football and establishing that, they won't have any real success in the run game.
Right now, we're talking to our guy, Josh Dover. He covers the Broncos, getting their thoughts as they get ready for their wild card matchup against the Buffalo Bills and if they could pull off the upset. All right, big picture here, at least for the Denver Broncos. There were only two teams in the league that allowed fewer points than Denver that did this year on defense. Los Angeles, the Chargers were number one. The Eagles are number two. Do you look at the Broncos as having an elite defense?
I did until December came, and then things started to go the wrong way for Vance Joseph and his side of the ball. They did have to play a couple of those games without Riley Moss, who's on the other side of Patrick Surtain, who's really good and able to hold his own on that side. And then even when he came back, he was a little bit of a rusty version of himself. So they're hopeful that that's a little bit better. I don't know if I would go with elite. I would go with very good. Nick Benito is a stud. He's third in the NFL in sacks. He's a part of the Defensive Player of the Year conversation. Had a couple touchdowns that the world saw because they were big plays. Zach Allen on the interior is a real stud. Top of the league in quarterback pressures. So I don't know that I'd go elite, but I would go really, really good.
What did you guys make of the controversy? And I'm using air quotes here because in Kansas City, we were obviously well-versed in it. Some Bengals fans were mad that Kansas City didn't try hard in that final week of the season. And then I'm thinking, well, you guys had all year to take care of your own business, and now you want somebody else to do your level of dirty work. The Broncos benefited the most from the Broncos taking week 18 off. What was that controversy like? What was that conversation in Denver?
Wow, we were happy with it. I mean, who cares about the Bengals in Kansas City or in Denver, right? And I'm with you. They show up the first 6 weeks of the season, and you don't have to rely on other teams. So all good. The Broncos stubbed their toe the first couple of weeks and should have got it done then. And who cares? You can only beat who's in front of you. The Broncos took advantage of the Chiefs being in a great situation and being able to rest some of their starters, all of their starters. So we're not mad about it at all. Like I said, beggars can't be choosers, man. We're begging for a long time here. We're not going to choose how we get into the playoffs.
When was the last playoff game that you guys win? I'm not even asking this to throw any shade at the Broncos. What was the last playoff game the Broncos won?
That was a big one, actually. You might remember it. Super Bowl 50.
Oh, wow. You guys haven't won a playoff game since then?
No, that was it. They haven't been back to the playoffs since then. Carrington, that following year in 2016, they had Trevor Siemian at quarterback, and they went 9-7. And then there was a list of 13 other quarterbacks since then. And now this is the first quarterback to bring the Broncos to the playoffs since Peyton Manning.
Wow, I forgot it had been that long. You know, I've been so caught up in, you know, following the team that I'm with going to the Super Bowl. I got kind of sidetracked catching up with all these other teams that just don't make the postseason very often. Right now we're talking to my guy, Josh Dover. All right, Josh, you know what? There's a lot of people that think that the Broncos are going on the road and winning this game. There's a lot of people that think that the Broncos are a very popular upset pick. Sell me on the Broncos going to Buffalo and pulling off this upset.
Well, there is a way. I will tell you, I'm not one of those people. I'm probably not as popular out here because I just said it on my radio show an hour ago that they're not going to go to Buffalo and win. But there is a way. The reason I say they aren't is because it includes running the football and establishing that side of the ball for Sean Payton, and he hasn't done that all year. But if he can do that, if you run the football, if you give a running back 15 to 18 carries and let that get going in the first half, use it to set up the pass in the second half, you can do that. And if this game is close or the Broncos find themselves with a lead, be it just 7 points or a 10-0 lead, a 13-3 lead, something in that first half, in the pucker situation, the Buffalo Bills, you know what they do in the playoffs? Of course you do, because you've been a part of it out there. They lose and they choke, and the players will start to feel that. The fan base will start to feel that. That will become real and tangible for those players. So there is a way, but it is a giant uphill battle. You'll have to run the football. Bo's going to have to play a great game like he did against the Chiefs a week ago against the backups. And they're going to have to get after Josh Allen and keep it tight so that the pucker situation becomes a real factor.
Yeah, I'm looking at this stat, and this is why I got to fade the Broncos. I'm also feeling the same way about the Commanders. Rookie quarterbacks have made 22 road starts in NFL history. Their teams are 5-17 on the road in their first playoff game. Just the Broncos have had a great year. The Commanders have had a great year. It's just not realistic to think that you were taking your rookie quarterback on the road and winning. And especially in Denver's case, in your case, Buffalo had a bye week last week. So they're coming in healthy. They're obviously coming in with something to prove. I just don't know how realistic it is to think the Broncos are going on the road and winning on Saturday or Sunday?
I'm with you. I'm with you. It's house money, and it's going to be great playoff experience for this young Broncos team, and obviously for a young quarterback in Bo Nix. And this is just the beginning of what this group is going to be able to do, what the duo is going to be able to do with Sean Payton and with Bo Nix. So they're playing with house money. You're going to gain some experience, and then next year you really are going to have some expectations going into a playoff game if they're fortunate enough to find themselves in one.
All right, last thing here, Josh. Give me an X factor. Let's say that you and I are talking next week. The Broncos have pulled off the upset. It is one of the more surprising results in either college football or NFL. Tell me how they did it. Tell me who plays well.
All right, Marvin Mims will be one of those guys. That guy's come on really strong as of late. I'll give you kind of an under-the-radar kind of name, too, is Devon Vele, who is also a wide receiver. But if the Broncos are able to win this game, he's going to be a guy that can expose the middle of the field, find the markers, and get up, pick up big first downs with Bo when they need him. So Devon Vele under the radar, but Marvin Mims is a guy that everybody should know watching the league. And if he can play well, because he's a dude that's going to get involved in the punt returns, kick returns don't really happen in the NFL, but he can flip the field punt returns. He had a big 97-yard touchdown play a few weeks back. And Sean loves to use him out of the backfield, either running the ball, those little screens that will give him opportunities with one-on-ones. And if he can make one guy miss, not a lot of people are going to catch him.
I just have to ask you this because I've been asking everybody this. Have you heard this LiAngelo Ball song? Do you like it?
You know what? I do like it. I have heard it. I've heard it a couple of times, and I absolutely like it. What do you feel about it?
It's kind of catchy. I like it, too.
I mean, that little whoa, you know what I mean? Like, everybody wants to say it.
No, I'm with you. I've been, like, catching myself singing. Like, man, I actually kind of like this song. I was actually driving to work today. I typed it into Apple Music and was listening into it on the way to work.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I like it a lot.
That is our guy, Josh Dover, joining us on the show. He's with Denver Sports. He's one of our favorite guests to join us on the show. Josh, good luck, man.
I appreciate it, man. Good talking to you.
Absolutely. That's my guy, Josh Dover, joining us on the show today. He covers the Denver Broncos. Someone is on the text line. You knew that. I swear I didn't know. I forgot it had been that long from the Broncos. They hadn't made the postseason since Peyton Manning. Just not even an appearance. It had been a decade since they even made the... I forgot. I didn't know that. Come on now. I like Josh. I wouldn't have done that. I didn't know. It's a long time. I'm not even sure if Ben Simmons was at LSU. I think he was in junior high whenever that... That was a long time ago. Goodness gracious. I can't imagine cheering for a team like that. That doesn't sound fun at all. Like, you look forward to football season for y'all to go 6-10 and just miss the postseason? That doesn't sound fun at all. All right, coming up on the other side, now that we have finished our trips around the National Football League, we are going to go through every wild card game and give you our picks and our predictions. That's coming up. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right. Coming up in just a bit, we're going to get back to the stadium talk. The Chiefs have a survey that's circulating. If you want to take the survey, just go on Chiefs.com. You can do it right there on the website. All right. This is what we're going to do. Usually on a Friday, we'll give you a two-leg parlay. We'll give you a college and an NFL. Well, today, with Super Wild Card Weekend, we're going to do it a little bit differently. This is what we're going to do. We're going to go through the five games this weekend in the National Football League. We're going to give you a two-leg parlay for all five of those games and also give you our pick. If it's Super Wild Card Weekend, we got to do it right on this show. There's only one way to do it. Rob, let's get to it. All right, let's start with the first game of the weekend. That game is in Houston, Texas. That game involves the Chargers and the Texans. This game is very simple to me. I think the Chargers have the advantage in almost every place that really matters. I think the Chargers have the better coach. I think the Chargers have the better quarterback. The Chargers defense is better than the Houston Texans. I think the Chargers have better skill position players and weapons than the Houston Texans. I do not like the way that Houston played the final month of the season. I do like how the Chargers played. You're going to give me the Chargers minus the 3. I'm going to take them here. I think Justin Herbert gets his first postseason win this weekend. I am going to take the Los Angeles Chargers minus 3. I also have that part of my parlay for this weekend's game.
I feel like me and you see this game very similar, and I feel like me and Vegas see this game very similar. Is anyone outside of Houston picking the Texans? Is there any reason to believe in the Houston Texans? They feel like they are DOA, dead on arrival. It feels over and the game hasn't even started. I feel like all the days of chargering and all that stuff is dead and gone as well. I think Justin Herbert's the better quarterback. I actually think DeMeco Ryans is a good coach, but I think Jim Harbaugh is light years better than him, which is not an indictment on Ryan. It's just that's how good Harbaugh is. That just feels like an obvious Chargers play. You said your Chargers play minus 3 is part of your parlay. I'm going to take Justin Herbert over 1.5 touchdowns. I forget the year. It may have been the 2015 or 2016 season. I apologize for getting offhand. Remember when the Chiefs went down to Houston and just thumped them? Nile Davis scored on their opening kickoff, and then from there it was over. Alex Smith had multiple passing touchdowns that day. This kind of has that sort of feel. So I'll take over 1.5 touchdowns from Justin Herbert. You got the Chargers at minus 3. You parlay that on our friends at FanDuel, and it's plus 188.
I really like that play a lot. It really lines up. If Herbert throws 2 touchdowns, it's probably a game that they win. I think it's possible that I'm overreacting to the final month of the season for Houston, but that game that they played on Christmas left a lasting image in my mind. They scored 2 points. They looked like they didn't want to be there. They have just been a different team since the Tank Dell injury. I'm fading the Houston Texans down the stretch. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm torn. As we move to Saturday night on Amazon Prime, I'm torn. I think the Ravens are much better than the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think the Steelers are the worst team in the playoffs. I think the Steelers have played very poorly for the last month. The Steelers just match up well against the Ravens. I cannot explain it. It does not make sense to me, but they just match up really well against them. I think the 9.5 is just way too big of a number. I would take the Steelers plus the points, but I don't feel great about it. I really don't feel great about it. I'm going to take the Ravens to win. I would just stay away from the spread because I think it's a little bit dangerous. And for my leg of the parlay, I'm going to go safe here just because it's part of a parlay. So I think I'll get to plus money. I'm going to take Derrick Henry to score a touchdown. I think the Ravens are going to need to rely on what got them here. And what got them here is they have a Hall of Famer at quarterback that is the best rushing quarterback that we have ever seen. They have a Hall of Fame running back that they need to pound the ball. How I think that Baltimore got eliminated last year was they got away from who they are. If Baltimore is going to make a run this season, you got to lean into who and what you are. And you need to be running the ball 30 to 40 times. You need to play ground control. You need to control the line of scrimmage. And I think their defense can actually come along for the ride. I'm going to take the Ravens, staying away from the points. I'm taking Derrick Henry as an anytime touchdown as part of our parlay.
I know the old adage is defense wins championships, and you got to have a great defense to win a title. And I'm not totally discrediting that. You need to have a good defense, but you also got to have a team that can score. I mean, last year the Chiefs had one of the better defenses in the NFL. They probably don't win the Super Bowl if Patrick Mahomes isn't all world. He scored near 30 in the Super Bowl. He scored near 30 against the Buffalo Bills. He was putting up numbers against the Miami Dolphins. Like, having a great defense is super. No one's anti a great defense, but eventually you have to have some offensive production. That's why Marty Schottenheimer got inducted into our NFL Never Win the Big Game Hall of Fame. He had great defenses but couldn't score. You have to be able to score in the postseason. And you know who can't? The Steelers. If I were to say, I haven't even looked at the number. I'm sure this is out there. If I were to tell you what the Steelers points over under is, let's say it's 17.5.
I can look it up for you.
I would bet it's 17.5. Do you think the Steelers can score more than 17 points in this game?
I would take the under if I had to.
Yeah. Russell Wilson can't throw to the outside. Adam Crowley was on the show earlier, and he was just doom and gloom for Pittsburgh for about the entire 11 minutes he was on the show. I do not think the Steelers can keep up with the Ravens, so I think the Ravens are the obvious play here, but because of all that weirdness, because of division rivals, because any given Sunday and all those sorts of things, my leg of the parlay, under 43.5. This feels like a very ugly 24-13 type of rock fight. This feels like the kind of game where at one point you see Mike Tomlin on the sidelines pounding his chest, telling his guys, you know, we got this, because it's 13-16 in the third quarter. Just ugly football. AFC North at its finest. So like the under of 43.5, you play that with your Derrick Henry anytime touchdown, it's plus 224.
It's almost like you know what the Steelers over under for points is? That's 16.5. That's exactly where it needs to be. Do you think the Steelers score 17 or more points in this game? Really good line set by our friends over at FanDuel. So those are the two games that we have on Saturday. The Chargers and Texans kick things off. That game will be on CBS. On Amazon Prime, we have the Steelers and the Ravens.
You remember, that's an Amazon Prime exclusive, so you will not get that over the air in Kansas City. You better have a Prime subscription.
Yeah, you're not going to get that over the air anywhere unless you live in Pittsburgh or Baltimore. You're not getting that game anywhere. So that is basically what it was last year with Peacock. This year, it's Amazon. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess next year that will be Netflix. I mean, they've made it pretty clear that they want one of those games to be a streaming-only game, and they are next up if we were talking about them getting a streaming-exclusive playoff game. All right, the three games that we have on Sunday, we have the Broncos and Bills, the Packers and Eagles, and the Commanders and the Buccaneers. Let's head to Buffalo, the Broncos and the Bills. I do not like rookie quarterbacks in the playoffs. I will give you the stat. It does not even up. Rookie quarterbacks have made 22 road starts in NFL history in playoff games. Their teams are 5-17. I do not know where the Broncos are going to go on the road and beat the Buffalo Bills. I don't know where this came from. I don't know who started it. They are not going on the road. Buffalo had a bye week last week, and Buffalo is just a better and more complete team. The Broncos, I like them during the season. They haven't beaten many teams like this or in this caliber. I don't think they're ready to play a heavyweight fight. This Buffalo Bills team is one of the five best teams in the NFL. They take care of business at home. Go ahead and give me Buffalo as a winner. I'm also going to take, you know what? I'm going to take the over on receiving yards from Keon Coleman. I think he's going to be opposite of Patrick Surtain the second. I think Keon Coleman ends up having a good game. I think he's really developed the second half of the season. I like the over on Keon Coleman receiving yards.
Me and you are seeing these games very similar, which has me a little shook, but
which tells me that we're going to be very wrong.
We're going to be wrong. I don't think Buffalo is perfect. I don't think Buffalo is infallible. I could see Buffalo losing in the divisional round. I could definitely see them losing at Arrowhead if it comes to that in the AFC title game. I don't think Buffalo's some unbeatable bully. I do not believe the Broncos can beat Buffalo. They just do not match up well. Buffalo is just the superior team. I know the Broncos won in Week 18 against the Chiefs backups, so they become an ooh, better watch out for the Broncos type of moment in Kansas City, but before that, they kept stubbing their toe and failing to get the job done. 2 weeks ago, this team went on the road and lost in Cincinnati. A Cincinnati team that I know they were hungry for a playoff spot, but is watching from Cancun right now. The Broncos down the stretch did not play great football, and we'll never know the answer, but the Chiefs played their real players. I don't know Denver's beating Kansas City, even with everything to play for. My leg of the parlay, though, I'm going to get real nerd core here. Here we go. According to DVOA, the Broncos are 31st in the NFL in defending the running back pass. So I like the over of 12.5 receiving yards for James Cook. You play that with your Keon Coleman over at FanDuel. It's plus 224.
All right, let's move to, I think this is the best game of the weekend. I think it's the Packers and the Eagles. These two teams played each other in the regular season, and the Eagles won that game. Very simply put, I don't trust the Packers. Anytime that they have played a team in this weight class, they lost. They lost to Philadelphia. They lost both games to the Lions. They lost both games to the Minnesota Vikings. I cannot pick them to go on the road. I know what's going on with Jalen Hurts. I think he's going to play on Sunday. He practiced. They also had a bye week last week. They couldn't stop Saquon the first time. They didn't stop Devontae Smith. They didn't stop A.J. Brown. If you can't stop them, what are we doing here? here. There's not really much to discuss. I am going to take the Eagles in their matchup. I'm taking the Eagles to win. I also would take them minus the 5.5 points. I like the Eagles to take care of business.
Here we go. Now we're starting to feel it. We're different somewhere finally, buddy. I am out on the Eagles. I'm out. Jalen Hurts is hurt. Jalen Hurts has not played the last couple weeks. Kenny Pickett is not that guy. Also, Kenny Pickett got hurt in the game against Dallas. I know he came. The thought was he could come back, but he did not return in that game. They're playing a real football team. Who knows what would happen? The Packers lost earlier in the year in Sao Paulo, Brazil, to the Eagles, and part of that is because Jordan Love left the game with injury, and there was a thought, remember back in September, there's a thought, oh no, is Jordan Love's season over? You're right. They have not punched in this weight class yet, but I don't think the Eagles feel like a Super Bowl team. They feel like they've been flirting with dysfunction. It's just they've survived in advance. Saquon saying, oh, I want to play. We'll see. Nick Sirianni's fighting fans. They have been flirting with flames as far as a disaster organization, and they were one last year. We know the stories now have leaked out. I do not trust the Eagles. I like the Packers to win. If you have Jaden Reed's anytime touchdown, I'm taking the Packers on the money line, baby. Play that on FanDuel, and it's plus 606.
Yeah, I do like Jaden Reed to score a touchdown. I'll also give you another play that I like that I think is a little sneaky as well. I would take Saquon Barkley to score 2 touchdowns. He usually gets a touchdown, and I wonder if Philadelphia is going to be open to doing the tush push with Jalen Hurts' injury. Like, are you going to put him in harm's way to kind of run those very tight rugby-style scrum plays given his concussion? So I think that they could maybe go away from that early on and use Saquon Barkley as their short yardage back. You guys told me that rest was so important last week that you can't go for the record. All right, well, now it's time to put that work in, and we're going to have you get these short yardage carries. Let's go to the night game, the Commanders and the Buccaneers. My stance on Tampa Bay is very simple. They've been two different teams this year. With Mike Evans, without Mike Evans. With Mike Evans, they have been a very good and dangerous team. I already gave you guys the stat about quarterbacks on the road. They are 5-17, the 22 starts we have seen from rookie quarterbacks in league history. Jaden Daniels has had a phenomenal season. He is going to win Rookie of the Year. I am not picking you if you're a rookie quarterback to go on the road. Give me Tampa Bay minus the 3 on Sunday night.
And we fall back in line because I also am picking against the rookie quarterback. Also, these two teams matched up earlier this year, and I know times are different, playoffs, the whole thing, this, that, and the other, but the Bucs beat the brakes off of the Commanders. It was 37-20. The Bucs handled business. Todd Bowles' defense gave Jaden Daniels problems, and the Bucs basically couldn't be stopped that day offensively. So I like the Bucs in this game. I've heard now for 2.5 hours those rookie stats from you. They do hold weight to me. My leg of the parlay on this one is simple. I'm betting on the numbers. Jaden Daniels is a rookie quarterback in the postseason. I like his under on 235.5. I know they are a fun team. Cliff Kingsbury is a sexy offense. It does all this, but I just don't trust the Commanders right now, and I don't trust a rookie quarterback in the postseason. So I will be taking the Bucs, and I will be taking Jaden Daniels under a 235.5.
All right, well, that is our trip around the National Football League as we are getting you ready for Super Wild Card Weekend. It's just kind of hard to not call a Super Wild Card Weekend. I know they don't call a Super Wild Card Weekend anymore, but you know what? On this show, we're going to continue to call it what it is, and it is Super Wild Card Weekend. All right, let's get back to what I think is the top story here locally, what is the top story in the city, which is the survey. So for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, the Chiefs, they put out a survey that you can go on their website right now. You don't need to be a season ticket holder. You don't have to live in the area. None of those things. You go on there, you fill out the survey, and you answer your questions, right? And there was a pretty sizable part of this survey that was about, you want the stadium to have a dome? Do you want it to be open air? Like, how do you want the next stadium to kind of be constructed in that way? Now, you guys can tell me if I'm wrong. 913-586-7965. I do think that you want an outdoor element to Arrowhead Stadium. I do think that you guys want real football, so to speak. I think you want grass. I think you want the wind. I think you want the elements of football weather, so to speak. I do think that most fans want the option of closing the roof for events. Kansas City has shown its love for college basketball. You do not get the Final Four if there's no roof. You don't get the Final Four. And if you're going to build a brand new stadium, why would you build a stadium that gives us no possibility on getting the Final Four? Doesn't make any sense. I also think that Kansas City has a very realistic chance in a new stadium of getting WrestleMania, which is a major event. Some of these events that you want, you're going to need some ability to control the weather. You're going to need some ability. You're not putting a $1 billion event in Kansas City and we can't close the roof or we can't do something. So I think most people, and again, you guys can tell me if I'm wrong, 913-586-7965. I don't think you want Arrowhead to have a dome. I don't think people want that. I do think that people want the ability for you to close the roof, maybe for a game where the conditions are going to be as extreme as they were last January for that Chiefs and Dolphins game. That is just really unsafe, honestly. It's just unsafe to go out there. Or I think people want the ability for them to be able to close the roof for a Final Four, for a March Madness, for if there's going to be a concert at an Arrowhead and it's about to rain, hey, let's just put the dome on this thing and we can continue our concert as scheduled and as planned. As Arrowhead is starting to be used as more of a multi-event venue, they don't just play football games there anymore. They got festivals there, concerts, all kind of stuff now happening. It only makes sense to me that if you were either going to spend a lot of money to add to it or you are planning on buying a new one, you just give yourself more options for some of the other things that you want to be able to do.
I will be fascinated by the results of the roof conversation. And there were five options. I don't want to delve too deep into the roof options, but it was like fully closed, like the Saints kind of have.
Yeah.
Or like SoFi, where it's kind of open air, or like they had Canopy, which is what the new Bills Stadium will be, where the field is, you know, open air, but the actual, you know, fans are covered if there's snow or whatever. Like there were a lot of options in that. I think what the Raiders do is considered natural light, you know, roof. There were a lot of options. I am fascinated by how the results of this go. Now, I don't know if they'll ever announce the results of this survey. They don't have to. It's their survey. But this one will be fascinating to me because I think Chiefs fans are split. And maybe it's unfair by me to use the text line as my barometer. But I remember last year when the stadium conversation was a big deal, there were a lot of fans on the text line who were excited. No roof. We want football. We want football and football weather. Arrowhead is a football stadium. And people raved about, I'll see how great the outdoors that led to the win over the Dolphins. We want that forever. Woohoo! And there's another sect of Chiefs fans that is saying, we want events. We want WrestleMania. We want the Final Four. We want the Super Bowl. We want these things in our city. The Chiefs fall into the second category more than the first. So I'm fascinated by the results. But I'll say this, and it's possible as a taxpayer in Kansas, I'm eventually paying for a stadium. In Jackson County in Missouri, you as a taxpayer could eventually be paying for a stadium for the Chiefs. I feel like that decision needs to be some sort of roof, because if you're going to literally tax me for a new stadium, which we both believe public money is going to be used, if you're going to literally tax me for a stadium, whether it be in Kansas or Missouri, you better be more than just 9 football games a year. I know you can have Taylor Swift or whatever, but it better be you can get more events in my town, not 9 football games. You're going to get a dime of my taxpayer money. So I'm interested by the results, but I feel like the Chiefs should just be saying, hey, we're going to help you out because we're taking your money. But that's not how they operate.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, normal people can't afford to go to the Final Four. I'm trying to figure out how normal people are affording to go to the Chiefs games. I haven't seen the prices for these Chiefs games and how they've developed over the years. If you can afford to go to this playoff game, trust me, you can afford to go to the Final Four. You can afford to go to the Final Four. I'm sorry. I've seen it. And they also think you can afford to go to the Final Four. We could talk more about it coming up on the other side of the break. Some of the PSL, the personal seat licenses numbers they were throwing out are crazy. They are about to charge you a cover charge to just have the ability to buy tickets from them moving forward. That thing was very extensive when it came to the personal seat licenses. I think there were a couple of like main takeaways that I have. We can get to them coming up on the other side. The way that you buy tickets and the way that you attend Arrowhead Stadium is just going to change. I think they were telling you that in this survey. I'll go through it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
So we're talking about this Chiefs survey that they just put out, and we're about to get into the personal seat licenses. I also want to read to you what the Rams do for personal seat licenses, and I think it could maybe explain what the Chiefs plan on doing as well. Someone just texted in, CDOT, the NFL is messing up. I will never be able to afford to attend the Super Bowl, and now with the way things are going, my family, we will never be able to afford a Chiefs game either. It's only going to get more expensive. The NFL is pricing out average fans. This is maybe the part of the conversation that is unfortunate, but I also think where we are sort of trending. I don't think the NFL cares as much about you as you maybe want them to care about you. I think the NFL in a lot of ways feels like you guys have been getting over for a very long time. We have been giving you our product for free your entire life, and now we are starting to learn how much you were willing to pay and spend and do to continue to watch our games. And everybody else is going to this model. Everybody else is going to streaming. Why don't we go to streaming? And you're also seeing how much one individual game is worth. I was listening to a podcast earlier today. Now, I don't want to create a doomsday scenario, but did you guys know that the NFL can opt out of their current TV deals in 4 years? So they can opt out of their deal with CBS, Fox, all of the ways that we currently watch these games for free. They could just say, we don't want to do this anymore and just renegotiate their deal. They've already shown you how much it's going to be to watch their games on season ticket. They've already started to piece games off of their regular Sunday and put them behind a paywall. Like, I feel like, Rob, anytime we say this, people just make it seem like, oh, we're being crazy and this is what they're going to do. That eventually comes at a cost. Where I think the NFL has told you one way or the other, we are going to get your money. And gone are the days of you just enjoying the NFL for free. That's over. So maybe you can't afford to go to a game. You can afford Netflix, can't you? Well, that's how you're going to watch the NFL. You can afford Amazon Prime. That's how you're going to watch the NFL. I do think they are setting it up for them to just start to piece off more and more games and put them behind a streaming wall and a pay service, and that's how you're going to watch it. So I think that's going to be the way that the average fan enjoys the game. I think the average way that you're going to enjoy the game is you're going to need to pay for Amazon. You're going to need to pay for Netflix. You're going to need to pay for more subscription services, and that's going to be your form of season tickets. Gone are you being able to spend $240 and get you a seat up in the upper deck. You're going to give that $240 to Google to be able to continue to watch our games.
I don't know this to be a fact. I don't want to say like it's a fact. But I'm starting to feel more and more like the NFL doesn't really care about the fans at games at all. You know what they care about? The fans watching on television. And I think as an NFL fan, if you start viewing NFL games as a television show more so than an event, that's how the NFL views them. How often does the NFL put out? It's about once a year. The NFL puts out that thing where it's like, here are the top 50 rated TV things of the year. And
it's
the NFL is like 45 of them.
And a majority of those are for free. This is the analogy exactly. I'll make. This is the analogy that I'll make for those of you that are parents. And this is where I know that Rob and I sometimes come off like we're anti in this, but we're regular paying customers and fans like you guys. You guys just think that I have this money tree that I can just go to any Chiefs game I want to. It don't really work that way. I think that we as fans have let the NFL be a teenager and we have never given them a curfew. And we all were kids once, right? If you come in the house and it's 1 o'clock and your parents don't really make it that big of a deal, what do you do the next time that you're out late? You then come in at 1:30 and then, you know, you get there at 1:30 and your parents don't make it a really big deal. Like, well, then I'm going to continue and push the limits. What we have seen the last 5 years is the NFL continue to push what our limits are as fans. They put a game exclusively on ESPN Plus earlier this year. All they've done for the last 5 years, ever since they reached this new television agreement and they avoided the lockout post-COVID, all they've done is experiment. Hey, Will, we can put more games overseas if we want to. Fans don't care. They'll watch it. We could put more games on a paywall. You and I said this when it happened. they started to put NFL playoff games behind a paywall and got record numbers when it was. So some of this is we've just told them, eh, it's fine. We'll pay for it. I mean, I'm part of the process, too. I'm not making it seem like this is you guys' problem and not my problem. I got Amazon Prime. I don't really buy a lot of stuff on there. I got it so I can watch the games. Like, that's just kind of what it is. So let me tell you guys kind of how this personal seat license things work. So I'm reading. This is directly on the Rams website. This is how they do it at SoFi Stadium. So they have a personal seat license. It is a one-time deposit. Let's say that you want to be a season ticket holder at SoFi Stadium and you want to buy this seat. You have to make a one-time deposit. It is mandated. And this money goes towards the construction of SoFi Stadium. Basically, they are taking your money to pay for what they've built. And this gives you the right, the first right of refusal for any game that happens at that stadium involving the Rams. So you get season tickets, playoff tickets, and you get this right up until 2068 to be able to own that seat. Now, you have to buy the tickets. All this does is give you the right to buy the tickets. Think of it like the cover for a club. If you buy the cover for the club, that doesn't mean you walk in there and the drinks are free. No, you are paying to enter the club, and now anything else that you want to do costs. That is essentially what they are trying to do at Arrowhead. Like, we can go through some of these numbers that they were throwing out there. These numbers are not realistic to me. Now, they don't ask all of this money up front. Some of it was you own $5,000 and you got 5 years to be able to pay it off. So some people are simply just going to roll that into their season tickets. For the first 5 years, my tickets are going to be a little bit more expensive than I'm used to, but that price will eventually wear off after 5 years. But my biggest takeaway from reading this survey is some major changes are coming. Some of you have seats up in the upper level. You have the end zone seats. In this survey, the way they were spinning it, they are floating out the idea of making those GA tickets. Hey, you want to buy an upper deck seat, the worst seat in the house, we are going to now make those general admission. You come in, you buy a ticket, we'll make that the seats for the poors. They're going to be the cheapest ones in there. Maybe we won't charge you a PSL for those, but it's also going to be you get in where you fit in. You do not have a guaranteed seat there, and maybe they sell more of those SRO seats and, hey, you need to watch the game from one of these canopies. Kind of like what the Cowboys have.
Also, this would eliminate the parking problem because you ain't gonna get out to eat and drink for free before the game anymore. You getting in when the gates open or you ain't getting a seat. So
100%.
You're now buying our beer and you're buying our food.
So they were throwing around that concept. So I think the general admission is going to be some part of what they're building. It was just too many pages in this survey. It was way too many pages to think that it is not a part of their plan if they build a new stadium. So that's one side of it. The PSL part was some of it. The Chiefs, I think, have shown us all through, hey, well, Clark Hunt is cheap. Why does that matter to me? We keep winning. Well, normally cheap people find ways for other people to pay for things. They are going to come up with a way. If they build a new stadium, they are going to figure out more ways to help you to get you to help pay for their stadium. That's basically what they told you. There are 10 pages. I'm not joking. There are 10 pages of them explaining PSLs and different price points that they are floating out there. If they build that new stadium, they are going to ask you to help pay for it. They're going to ask you to help pay for it multiple ways. They're going to ask you to help pay for it from a tax perspective. And then if you want to walk into their new stadium, they're going to ask you to pay for it again. They're basically telling you all this information in the survey. I would highly encourage, even if you don't even go to Chiefs games, just to get the information. There's two surveys. There is the renovated survey. So if they keep the same structure that they have, what renovations do you want? There also is a new stadium survey. It's right there on the website. I would encourage everybody to go on there and take it. It is fascinating to see what they have put together. And we know the Chiefs well enough. You didn't just haplessly put this together during the bye week of a playoff run. You are gathering information and you are going to do something with this information. You want to find out what people will spend for this service. You want to find out where people want the stadium, how much they're willing to pay for the stadium. It is all right there in this survey. Coming up on the other side, we'll get to Super Wild Card Weekend. We already have half of the national championship picture in college football. We get the other half today, and Fesco is going to join us to talk about everything related to the stadium. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.